This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
He looks, he fires, and it is complete. Touchdown!
Hey, I know, hey, listen, you better say great f***ing design. I know you did.
A lot of potty mouth in that one. A little bit of potty
mouth. That happens to you on the sidelines. You would know that. You would know that.
I never cursed on the sidelines.
Don't lie to the audience.
Never
lie. Just on the air instead.
Never once.
Why has the side Reddick been on four of the
That's not a
freaking
curse.
Football teams.
Not a curse because we bleeped it out. That's why it's not a curse. All right, let's welcome in our guests here for the hour. It is Whiteout Wednesday with Jason Avon, sponsored by Walnut Street Smile and Chestnut Dental Group Studio, part of the Dudat Dental Group, official dentist of the Philadelphia Eagles. Jason, how you doing, man?
I'm great. Good to be with you guys after a win, baby.
That's right. We haven't had.
Yeah, man,
is it our first one since we started Whiteout Wednesday?
No, it hadn't been the first
one. Okay. It just felt like it because it had been a while.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it had been a long time. All right, Jace, let's talk about what we saw and how good it was on the offensive side. Now, we can all realize it was the Raiders, but to talk about what you saw that was good and maybe they could build off of.
Well, I thought that they did a few things well. They implemented twin two personnel in order to run the ball. Mm-hmm. That's two tight ends. That's two running backs, one receiver on the field. That receiver mainly was A.J. Brown. And they were able to move the Raiders. But Latou, I just think that bringing in 36, Latou, mm-hmm. in to lead block on those plays and or help Grant Calcaterra with the point. He was able to block Max Crosby. They were able to run the jet sweep shovel pass to Dallas Goedert. They did it out of that personnel. Mm-hmm. They ran a toss out of that personnel. They ran a counter out of that personnel. All of those plays gained at least 6 yards, mm-hmm. right? So I thought they did that really well. But Jalen was accurate with the ball. He had one-on-ones down the field. We were aided a few times with some calls. Now, that first pass interference to A.J. Brown on it, Stokes on A.J. Brown, yep. That wasn't a pass interference. And also, there was a holding call that was missed on a long Devontae Smith pass.
Was right? that on so, Crosby?
On
yeah,
Crosby,
he was losing his mind. Yeah,
he was losing his mind on that play. So we were aided a few with that, but Jalen was accurate with the ball, and we were able to run the ball. I won't say we were super efficient running the ball, but we capitalized on third downs, right? 10 of 13 on third downs. You get more plays, so you're able to sustain your chance to run the ball. So I thought those were some things that we did well. And I'm trying to think of everything off the top of my brain. No, Jalen was just accurate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny because we were talking about it. A part of that was I think Jalen had 7 carries in that game for like 20-some yards or something like that.
I think it was
39. 30-some yards.
Yeah. But there were a lot of first downs with those carries.
And we were trying to figure out, how do you feel about implementing him more into the running game. How do you feel about that, especially since there's some speculation that he might have got banged up during the course of the game?
Well, you should implement him more in the run game, but I think in the past they have, and it's more quarterback design runs. And mainly that's been the quarterback sneak in this particular game. Two third downs early in the game, he was able to run for a first down right up the middle. And later in the game, he was able to get a 12-yard gain on the quarterback draw. Mm-hmm. Not sneak, but quarterback draw. So that takes his place. Now, here's the thing that kind of stops Jalen. Most teams are dropping people out of the line of scrimmage. And therefore, there's no running lanes up the middle. And now Jalen this year hadn't been fast enough to beat people to the edge. And so that's why he hasn't been as effective in the run game. Mm. Because when you're doing read option and you're doing these things and you can't beat the defensive end and or a linebacker spy, it kind of limits your ability to make yards. But in this particular game, he was able to get yards right up the middle. And,
right.
And I think that's where the lion's share of his yards will come.
So when we look at the game on Saturday, we had a game earlier this season where they beat up on the Giants late October. They were under center a lot. They ran the ball well. And there was a feeling going into the bye, Jason, like, all right, that's what their offense is going to look like. And then it didn't look quite like that as much in the next five games. They did it this past Sunday. Do you think what we saw Sunday is something they should build off of? Or is that, because sometimes Sirianni will say each game's its own thing, right?
Yeah.
It's game plan specific, it's team specific. So now we got three games left. Do you expect and do you think the offense should look a lot like it did Sunday? Or was that was the plan for the Raiders?
Well, it was the Raiders' plan, but there are some things that they did, right? So you're moving A.J. Brown around a lot mm-hmm. in these last few games, which is good. And then even out of some things that you do all the time, you're dressing it up a little bit better. Like A.J. Brown caught like a 12 or 13-yard slant route where he ran, you know, for 6 or 7 yards after the catch. And they just put him on an out motion and made it look a little bit different. And the Raiders didn't know that slant was coming, even though they do it all the time.
Right.
Right. They put him down the seam, get him a matchup with Jeremy Chinn. He scores a touchdown in that situation. So, and then we talked about the compliments to routes. Instead of running, you know, an out or a stop, you do the out and up. They did that the last few games, and they're able to have some success with the Devontae Smith this week on a spray out. So they're doing more. They're doing things effectively the last few weeks when it comes to play calling and sequencing, right? They're marrying plays, and they're doing play action, and they're taking shots down the field. They're marrying some of these plays on the deep crosses. They have the deep crossing out. Dallas Goedert had an explosive in the second half when it came to that. So I think this can carry over for sure. Will they have success against a better opponent up front? We will see.
Are they doing because I watched the game and I saw some of the same things that you saw. And my question to you is this, Jason. Are they running better complementary plays, like plays that complement some of the passes they want to do, or are they just executing a lot better?
Well, yeah. So that's the thing. Like, so when you're under center just a little bit more, the plays start to look alike. Right. Mm-hmm. So and I told you they had just off 22 personnel, they had 5 or 6 plays off of that. And the mm-hmm. same way when it comes to their 11 personnel package. And Jalen was seeing the field a lot better. One thing that the Raiders and yes, so yes, their play calls were married to other plays. Yes. So mm-hmm. a screen was out of that formation. A run was out of that formation. A deep shot was out of those formations. Right. So when they got into two receivers in tight splits like Devontae Smith long pass, they had multiple runs where AJ and Devontae were digging out the safeties from that same position. So it makes it look the same to the defense.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I thought that Jalen did a good job was recognizing underneath coverage this mm-hmm. week. He recognized it well. The Raiders tried to trap him multiple times. There was a third down where, he threw the ball to the flat and missed Saquon and it kind of, they didn't convert that third down.
Yeah.
But he had Dallas Goedert. He was looking right at Goedert. Goedert was wide open, but they had Eichenberg right underneath it, and he was able to recognize that. So I thought that was growth. Another thing with Jalen that happened this week, they would, instead of being in the middle of the field when they had cover three or single or man-to-man, the middle of the field safety, he was shaded to A.J. Brown's side. So what do? You go to Devontae Smith. What do? You go to Darius Cooper on the one that he had a pass interference on. All of those things were great by Jalen. And his accuracy was actually really well, really good this game. So I thought they did a great job. Yeah, it was the Raiders, but you can build on it.
All right, so there's been a lot, and a lot of talk about Kevin Petullo, the offensive play calling all year. We've talked about it, since you started hopping on with us. I feel like the one area he's been pretty good all year is the red zone. I mean, that some of those Goddard plays, even early in the season when the offense wasn't great, they've been good in the red zone basically the entire season. Like, they're still towards the top efficiency in the red zone. Are they just overpowering teams there, or do you see good design? Because those shovel passes, they seem like they work every time.
Well, they work like a charm, and it helps when, you know, I think on that play, I want to say Landon. It was either Landon or Cam Jurgensen, but Cam Jurgens, like, literally destroyed the nose tackle, right? That helps. So now you got one guy that was able to go up to the second level on Dallas's jet sweep, and then Latu was in there, mm-hmm. and he dominated his side. Mm. He needs to play a lot more than he is, right? So he needs to play a lot more, and so they were able to dominate in that formation. But ultimately, in the red zone, they're able to run the ball better than they do in the open field, and I don't know why that is. They run the ball better, whether it's Tank, whether it's Saquon, they run the ball better, and because they run the ball better, they're able to hit play action plays, Dallas to the flat, Dallas to, you know, these positions, because they can run the ball better, and I don't know what that is. They need to put that in the.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy to make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In the field between the 20s, and we'll see how it goes.
215-592-9494. Jason Avant with us here on Wideout Wednesday. Let's grab a phone call and talk about the birds with Jason and us as well. Ron is up. What's up, Ron?
I was originally calling in about the whole Elliott thing, and I want to touch base on how ridiculous the whole thing is.
Before you go, let me present it to Jason so he knows where we're all going with the conversation. So Elliott Shore Parks was arguing with us that the Eagles' offense is actually better than the Rams' offense, Jason. That he would
Hold on, wait, what?
Yeah. He was arguing that the Eagles' offense is better than the Rams. That I had the same reaction as you.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's where we're coming from with the caller here. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah. Apparently, it's opposite day. So it's like a Cowboy. It's like a Cowboys fan being like, "Well, we won in the '90s. It doesn't matter what happened in 22. It doesn't matter what happened in 21." And he wants to cherry pick. Well, once we got AJ Brown, it was different. Well, nobody mentioned Puka Nakua.
Right, who arrived a couple years. It's a good point. Right, he arrived, 23. This is his third year. So you're right. Teams change all the time. I mean, right now, Ron, obviously the Rams offenses are operating at a different level than the Eagles.
And you know what I just thought? I just saw the last few games is that the influence of Devontae Adams on Puka Nacua's route running is unbelievable.
Oh, he's gotten better with Devontae.
Oh, my gosh. He's gotten so much better. He was a robot just using scheme to get open with McVay. Mm. And gaining an advantage. Now he's routing people up. Wow. And that's directly correlated to Devontae Adams.
Not to mention, we have a different coordinator every year. Our line is different. The team's changed so much. It doesn't matter what our record was against them last year, let alone this year. All that matters for the playoffs this year is what the teams are now. So any history, it doesn't matter. The Patriots were terrible against teams for years, and then they went on a 20-year run where they just destroyed everybody. It doesn't matter what was. It matters now. And right now, yeah, I'm a Birds fan. I'm a homer, but I'm not blind. And you got to understand that now is what matters. This team isn't playing last year's team. So it's just this year what matters. So his whole argument is a moot point and doesn't matter.
well, and here's the thing, Ron, good phone call. What matters is over the next 5 or 6 weeks, Jason, can the Eagles offense move up a level? Can they get better? Can they keep building off of what we just saw? So if they do face the Rams, they're ready to go in that game. I mean, that's really all that matters. It doesn't like a caller saying, it doesn't matter what happened in week three when they played each other. It matters if we see them in the title game, can we get better before then?
Yeah, I think the play calling is getting better, and I think guys are being moved around. I think all of those things are happening. I just think it comes down to the offensive line. The offensive line was able to move
the crowd
one-on-ones, yeah. and they didn't run the ball great when you look at rushing average, but they were able to stay connected on their one-on-one blocks, and that hadn't been consistent. You saw a little bit even in the Raider game where, you know, a guy here there missing blocks, yep. And I think that's the biggest issue. If you can solve that, you can get to a place where you can be efficient on the outside. I think that the ingredients on the outside and with Jalen is still there.
So we've been talking all year about identity and formula, and we've known the Eagles' identity has been a few different things over different years. Last year was primarily running the football, and they threw it off of that. You know, a few years ago when Jalen first emerged, they did throw it more, and his legs were a huge part of it. There's been a lot of talk this week of, did they find their identity? Like, do you feel that, or was that, hey, we're beating the crap out of the Raiders, let's just run the ball and shorten the game and get out of here? Because you look at the final box score, and it's like 47 rushes, 15 passes. Was that an identity game, or is that more of, we're beating up a bad team, let's just finish it out?
It was more so of beating up a bad team. The reason is because you're not going to have 47 rushes for, you know, 3.9 yards and be able to run the ball efficiently. It's just that the Eagles were dominant on third downs, unlike we've seen this year. And that gives you more opportunities to sustain offense and or to stick with something that you want, which is to run the ball. And we had explosive plays. We had Dallas with an explosive. Mm-hmm. We had Devontae with an explosive. We have A.J. Brown with a few explosive. Darius Cooper's interception, that was an explosive. Right? You had Saquon with one. Like, so you, when you have explosive plays and you convert third downs, your offense looks totally different.
Yeah, and Hewitt did look different on Sunday. I mean, that was it. And the third down that Jason's brought up, Hugh, was huge because that kept them on the field. They only had the three and out in the second quarter. And after that, they basically moved the ball the whole
possession.
Time.
Yeah, third possession. And they had that. They just, you know, squandered it. Yep. You know, they had that. The play was there.
Yeah, so realistically, when you look at this offense, and we want to put the point scored on them, are they closer to a 21-point a game type of team, or can they be that team that can score 30-plus during the course of a game?
They're not a 30-point offense yet. They're not. And the offensive line play has to become more consistent. Jalen has to be more consistent when the defense is challenging. Mm-hmm. The Raiders' defense was not challenging just because their whole premise was stack as many people in a box as you can in order to stop the run, and therefore on the outside is going to be cover three or cover one, and there's the easy throws. When Jalen has to look out and he can throw a fade ball to A.J. Brown or fade ball to whoever else, that's an easy thing for him. He's good at it. That's what you go to. But most teams are not going to allow you to do that. They're going to create ways in order to get an extra defender on the box at the snap from deep, and therefore you don't know what's going on in the back end, and he mm-hmm. has to solve an equation. So, yeah, I don't think that the Eagles will be a 30-point offense until we see that. And the only time we're going to be able to see that is against the Bills.
Right.
Because the Commanders, you know, they're not the best on defense at all this year. They're bottom in the league at stopping the run, bottom in the league at passing. So I don't know if we're going to see what we have and if they've really grown into the Bills game.
All right, so let's look forward here. Three games to go.
We're looking. Okay, three. What you about to do? Look forward. How far are we going?
Well, just playoff. The next 3 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, next 3 weeks.
Let's start. I have some thoughts.
Okay. Yeah. What do you want to throw in there?
Oh, no, I'll let you go first, because then it might tie in.
Okay, all right. So we were just on the show yesterday. There was a discussion about Jalen running and protecting him versus trying to win these games, right? Getting into a groove before the playoffs. Where do you come down on? Because they only need one win. Like, if they win Saturday, they're in the playoffs, right? They've won the NFC East, and I think it's probably unlikely they're going to get the one seed. So they can really approach the final 2 weeks of the season however they want, right? They could rest some players, they could kind of take it easy, or they could go all out. That's Nick Sirianni's choice. When it comes to Jalen Hurts, would you try to back off until the playoffs with him running? Because we did see Sunday. Now, he said he's fine yesterday. He wasn't on the injury report. That didn't look good when he went down. That looked a little scary, right? Would you back off on him running the football in the final few weeks if it doesn't really mean anything? Or would you say, no, we got to get into a groove. We're playing our offense.
No, I would back off because it's. I think that's the smart thing to do. But here's my suggestion, right? And this is just me, you know, just in my thoughts.
Yeah, we call it on this show recklessly speculating.
Here's my thoughts, right? I think if the Eagles win this game and they're going to secure the number one seed, right, the last two ball games really don't mean anything because you're not going to be able to move up.
They're probably going to be the three seed no matter what happens.
No matter what happens, right? So if that's the case, I'm using that time in order to get Jalen to see things that he's going to see in the playoffs, right? So over this year, you have seen so many blitzes from the opposing defenses that have been successful. Mm. How can I help Jalen? I can have a Jalen drill in practice at the end of every practice. 10 to 15 plays of all the looks that he's failed against that you know the NFL is going to copy, and you don't give him the coaching and show him the read and, you know, scout it up for him.
Don't make it easy,
You let him fail in those moments. You give him the play, give him the adjustments with the play call and let him fail over and over again. Matter of fact, make your first team defense to ensure that the scout guys are not going to favor the quarterback, right? And I think in those moments, and you give him those reads where he can run the ball, I'm not saying you hit him, but he can run the ball, he can read the defense, read blitzes, and therefore he can grow in those moments and be prepared for the playoffs. That's my thought.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would, if they win Saturday, which they should beat the Commanders Saturday, and they win this division, I would back off him running for the next few weeks. Like, I would just take it easy and make sure we get to the postseason healthy. Hugh, where did you want to go?
No, I was just thinking, okay, going into the playoffs. Like, I'm just wondering, when you were talking about projecting a little bit, you say, so we're closer to more of a 21-point-a-game.
Yeah, somewhere in a minute, 20-24, not 30.
Okay, saying, like, when you know the playoff field now, presently constructed, do you think a 21-point team is good enough to make it all the way?
No, but If they're 24, 26, they may be able to with the defense playing the way that they are.
Okay.
So if you can play good defense and not turn the ball over on offense, you always got a chance in the playoffs. So remember, there's parts of the playoffs that are outside of the normal scope of the NFL. You start to get into inclement weather. You start to get in where the Rams offense, like last year, they come in here and now they're a great offense, but they got to deal with snow. Mm. And therefore, they're not the same team. And that's a part of the playoffs.
Gotcha.
Until you get to the Super Bowl, and that's one game. Anything can happen in that one game, right? So if you get outdoors like the Eagles are and they get a few games at home or you're playing on a road somewhere else, the weather and the conditions can play a role in this, along with a good defense and being able to run the ball.
Well, it can. And then you mentioned the defense, which we haven't talked much about. Man, that a shutout, 70?
I know, look, 75 yards is crazy.
I know the Raiders stink, but like to hold anyone in the NFL to 75 yards is remarkable. When I was watching, I was like, they haven't moved the ball over midfield for an hour.
No, yeah. They didn't. Yeah, just the beginning of the game, you know, one time, and then the first drive of the second half before Bond picked it. That was pretty
crazy.
Much it. That was pretty much it. And they were trying to attack the Eagles in such a weird way. And Adoree Jackson was over there, and they didn't really, you know, attack him. And they were doing this 3-by-1 set, and they kept running across the field. And instead of, you know, I guess they were thinking, okay, our backside safety is going to be going to focus on the backside receiver. No, our backside safety would just look at the three receiver side
right.
and kind of stop it. And so it was a weird game plan for me, but that's the Raiders. What do you say?
I mean, they're the worst team in football. I mean, you know what it was, Hugh? It was a game we needed. We needed to see the Raiders.
I mean, a win is a win. Man.
And they have, and outside of Bowers and Lockett, they have nothing else on offense.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, you know, and I know they have a first-round draft pick and
running back. Is he not what people thought? Or is it the team around him just
the line sucks?
Okay.
And so you don't know, but he doesn't look like he has max effort out there. He definitely looks like I'm playing not to get hurt.
Well, that's how you end up 2-11 or whatever the heck they are. All right.
I will say this: Lockett was turning Cooper any which way but loose in that game.
Oh no, some of those veteran receivers. Thielen did it to him last year.
Cooper was hot.
No, Lockett was mixing Coop up out there. Now the veteran receivers, like, they have all the nuance and all the tack, and I'm talking about he was shaking Coop's face off. And Coop was getting frustrated, but they didn't have the players around it.
They didn't have a quarterback. They couldn't do with that. Yeah.
But I was just looking at the film and laughing my butt off, because as an older player, you got a young guy that's better than you, but you just have nuance to your game, you know. So it was just funny.
It was. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll take your phone calls here. Wideout Wednesday continues. Jason Avant in for the hour. We'll look ahead to Saturday, the matchup against the Commanders. What kind of threat, if any, do they possess in a division game where the Eagles can clinch the NFC East? And big picture in the NFC, big game tomorrow with the Rams and Seahawks. How do we think that goes, and how does the NFC shake out? 215-592-9494. FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is the number one sportsbook for same-game parlays. From points to rebounds to threes and assists, FanDuel is the best place to combine your favorite picks into a same-game parlay or track every stat live, all in one easy-to-use app. Right now is the perfect time to join. New customers get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins, so bet on the players you love the way you want. Head to FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to sign up today. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 94WIP. The Midday Show, Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, Wideout Wednesday, Jason Avant with us here until 1 o'clock. 215-592-9494. For this segment brought to you by Monica, it's football season. Make sure your car is game day ready. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke. Find a location near you, Meineke.com. All right, Jason, we got a clinch game on Saturday. Eagles, Commanders, Saturday afternoon, 5 p.m. What do you think about this, Matt? I mean, it's amazing how much changed in a year, right? Like, last year, we're playing this team in the title game. Now they're a shell of that team, four wins. But it still is a division game. And I actually think Mariota's played better than at least I thought he would coming in for – if you told me Jaden Daniels was out, I'd say their offense is dead. He's played a little bit better than I thought, but their defense is pretty bad. What's your thought on the overall Commanders right now as we head into the game?
They've just been hurt, right? So they've been hurt. They lost their quarterback. They hadn't played with their complement of receivers. They lost Marshawn Lattimore for the entire season. Like, they've lost pretty much a lion's share of, you know – their team for some portion of the season. So they hadn't played up. But yes, Mariota's a veteran. Like, and that's what you get as you get, you know, older, you make less mistakes, and they're going to have, you know, a working offense. It won't be a dynamic offense, but when you have Terry McLaurin back, you have Deebo Samuel back, you have Kroski Merritt, and these guys, they did a really good job against the Giants. The defense is still struggling, but they still have the names, and they have the ability to do it. So up front, you still have Payne that's playing, you have Von Miller that's playing, you have, you know, Luvu that's playing, and he plays outstanding against us every time we play them. Frankie Luvu balls. So we'll see what the Commanders will do against us. I will say this, is that what we see on tape is totally different from the way they're going to play us. Because, like you said early in the break, Dan Quinn was with the Cowboys. He knows Jalen Hurts, knows this offense, and these players know how to be successful. And I know if Eagles fans don't want to hear this, and I'm not saying that the Eagles are going to lose to the Commanders, but we can't just put it out of our mind, because the Eagles have lost one game to every division opponent thus far.
Yeah, and
we've got some bad people in our division.
And they lost on the road both those times, in New York, in Dallas. He hasn't said it out loud. I have sensed all week, Hugh Douglas thinks this one's going to be more of a challenge than other people do.
No, because...
You think it's going to be a challenge?
Yes, because I'm curious to ask Jason.
I can feel when Hugh thinks we got a tough one coming.
No, because... We've Jason's been a part of this, and we've been a part of this. But Jason, tell me, what do you think when you play a division opponents? What do you remember about the division opponents? Because I remember, no matter what the record was, you always got their best fight.
Yeah, that's how it is in the division. No one cares about the records. And that's, and remember, that every team has NFL talent. And when a team knows you and they know your, they know your in and outs, they know everything about your offensive coordinators, what you like to do, their chances of staying close in the ball game is very high. And guess what happens when in that situation? Anything. Anything can happen, right? A guy gets a strip sack at the most, you know,
inopportune time.
Yeah, yeah, whatever it may be, right? Yeah, so that those things can happen. And what the, a division opponent usually guarantees that that the game is usually going to be close until the fourth quarter at some point.
Yeah, and Eagle, it's just, it is, I guess injuries is the, like you said, is the biggest thing. It's just amazing how it's changed in 1 year. I mean, 1 year ago, here, we're getting ready for an NFC championship game against this team, and now they're 4-10.
Now we're in survival mode.
Well, we're both, I mean, we're in survival mode. They're
back. Yeah, we're trying to figure it out. But I tell you what, one thing that I do know for a fact is they're going to try to play spoiler. There's no doubt in my mind when they talk about everything, when they look at those standings and they watch SportsCenter, because another thing I can guarantee you, everybody and their mama that plays football has SportsCenter on when you're in the locker room. That has been a staple since I can remember. Mm. So it's funny when you talk about people saying they don't hear this, that, and the third. You might not hear it, but you see it because it's on the television. Mm-hmm. It's on the ticker. You see it because if everywhere you walk in the building, there's TVs.
Right.
There's TVs
mm-hmm.
all over the place. Yeah. So my point is this. The Commodores are looking at this and they're like, huh, the Eagles haven't clinched the division yet. They're going to try to clinch it this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We're not playing for anything, but I'm going to try to make it hard for you to get what you want because we know you got between us, you got that game sandwich with the Buffalo Bills. If we give you an L and they give you an L, you're in a bad spot.
Well, the Eagles would probably have to win the last game of the season
against the Commanders, yeah. And the Commanders on defense pretty much have the same defense, but they do have some injury. Jonathan Jones, they got from the Patriots, injured. Mm. Marshawn Lattimore, injured. Eddie Goldman, who they got from the Falcons, defensive tackle that was brought to stop the run, injured, right? So you have these guys that are injured. And then Javon Kinlaw, a guy that they paid money to come down, he hadn't held up against the run the way that they anticipated. And then you have a lot of old guys. You got Bobby Wagner out there who's declining a little
That's
bit.
Crazy.
You have they're getting
older.
Not as old as you.
You have Von Miller out there that's a situational pass rusher, just not the same player. So they have names, but the game is kind of passing them by as well with injuries and the game them being older.
So how would you attack them? Because you look at the numbers, they're bad against everything, right? They're not a good defense. Is this the kind of game where you try to build off the passing we saw on Sunday against the Raiders, or is it, hey, let's run the ball and do what we did on Sunday against Las Vegas, do it again to this team?
Well, the Commanders' Achilles heel the last few years against the Eagles have been able to stop the run.
Yeah.
So I think everything starts at trying to run the ball against this team. This team is toward the end of the league when it comes to stopping the run. But you do have some shots outside. You got Mikey Samuels still, who's a nickel corner playing outside, and he hadn't held up the same as he did last year. You got Jonathan Jones, who's hurt. So you got Antonio Hamilton coming in, number 34, who was attacked at length against the Giants. So I think the Eagles should attack him more. And so you have some matchups that you can win on the outside with them having backups. So run the ball and take your shots. And the Eagles are a totally different team when they hit shots outside.
Yes.
Totally different team because Jalen, that's a throw that you don't have to read the defense. You don't have to worry about coverage. You don't have to worry about guys blitzing. You can just pop it up to the outside. When they give you those one-on-one opportunities, can we hit that play? That'll be the thing.
And when he has time on those, he's very good at them. I mean, his accuracy. I mean, that throw to Devontae was awesome.
No, it was lovely.
Yeah.
Especially when the wind was thrown in there. I mean, that wind on Sunday was no joke. When he hit the 43-yard, I was like, man, that's a good throw.
I always say that play was made by AJ. AJ's success over the last few weeks, the safety that was supposed to be in the middle of the field refused to acknowledge Devontae Smith, and Jalen was able to make
it. So it opened it up for Devontae.
It opened him up because he was supposed to be in the middle of the field. He just stayed there looking at AJ. And AJ broke in, and he's the middle of the field safety, and he broke on it. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? But he was focused on AJ Brown.
Yep. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494 to hop in. Jason Avant with us here, Wideout Wednesday. Terrence in Springfield is up on WIP. Hey, Terrence.
Terrence.
Hujo, Kyle, Jason, what's up, man?
Chilling, Terrence, bro. What's up, buddy?
All right, guys. Everybody got to pump the brakes talking about our offense is better than our Rams right now. Now, in a couple weeks...
It's mostly Elliott. It's mostly Elliott, yeah.
Yeah, I heard my man ESP, man. But in a couple weeks, do we got a chance of being near that level or getting better to that level? Yes. And like everyone said, yes, on paper, we might have the stars and all that, but we haven't been playing up to our expectations right now. And for the Rams, like right now, I can say this. Right now, every time we have played them, yes, Sirianni has had the best of Sean McVay. Yes, Vic Fangio has had the best of Sean McVay's offense. But that could be a mental edge for us going into facing them. But right now, they're head over heels, the best offense in the league, and overall the best team in the league. Now, do the best offense always win the Super Bowl? No. Do the best quarterback that throws for the most yards and the most touchdowns always win the Super Bowl? No. So we could kind of use that as fuel to get better and Jalen, these next couple of games, work on the offense, work on the reps of getting with these receivers, getting back, playing complimentary football, and with Saquon Barkley running the ball and getting more under center like we saw in the last game. We know it was the Raiders, but it, like you guys said and Jason said, it was a start of getting his offense back on course of where we need to be heading toward the playoffs. And that's what we need to be, guys, because I know Jalen Hurts, I call him, you got to play that cut, I call him Martin Luther Hurts. Because when he starts saying those cliches, man, he sounds like Martin Luther King. Like, Jalen, this come and answer the question, bro, and answer to the best of your ability. You don't got to give all these cliches and all this Martin Luther King speech stuff. Just come in there and handle what you guys can handle. Because if the Eagles, if they can win these couple games, and if they beat Buffalo, that will get me back and believing in this team. If they have a good offensive performance against Buffalo, that would get me back on course with this team, that we can go back. Because right now, like I told you before the other day, Joe, in the AFC, we have young quarterbacks. Besides Josh Allen, you have two young quarterbacks. And in the NFC, besides Stafford, the other quarterbacks aren't proven. So the Eagles do have the mental edge over these other teams that they can use that as their advantage heading into these playoffs.
Well, and they're going to be one, and Terrence, we appreciate the phone call. They're going to be one of the more battle-tested teams entering the playoffs. All right, Jason, let's unpack the NFC for a little bit here, right? What they're dealing with. We talked about the Rams. After the Rams, who for you is the next team? Is it the Eagles, or is it, you know, someone? Because it feels like there's a changing of the guard in the NFC, right? The Bears come out of nowhere, and they're playing Saturday against the Packers for potentially to put themselves in a position to win the North. Seattle has had a very good year, but there's also these questions because Darnold got to play one playoff game last year and did not play well. When you look at the NFC, it's Rams one, and then how do you view
the
this
Bears?
Guy? The Bears.
You can't, like, the way the Bears beat the hell out of us here at our house and ran the ball and football down our throat, let everyone know that Jalen Carter was hurt, right?
So they did, yeah.
Right? So, like, the way the Bears dominated that football game, because that game could have literally been 45 to a very little, right? So the Bears, to me, is the second best team. And then you have to – the Packers without Micah Parsons is a different ball.
It's a major injury.
It's a different team.
Because well, they're last year's team, which – and that Packers team wasn't that great.
Well, yeah, and you don't know – and they're like us in this sense, is that when they hit shots, it's a totally different team. When they hit shots and their receivers catch the ball, they're a really good team when their receivers catch the ball. They just don't catch the ball enough. And so Seattle.
I was about to ask you about that.
You buy? Do you buy them? They're this good? I mean, their record is. I mean, they're 11-3.
I buy Seattle. I buy Seattle's defense and their ability to rush the passer, and I buy Jackson Smith and Jigba. I buy him because I know what type of route runner he is, and there's not going to be a guy in this league that's going to cover him 1-on-1. So when you have a guy like that, you always got a shot. And so Darnold, yeah, will he have to prove himself? Of course, but their overall team is a good team.
All right, let me ask you about one team that I don't think we've talked a lot about this season. But if you look at the way the NFC is set up right now, it might be the most likely opponent for the Eagles in the first round. That's the San Francisco 49ers. So banged up on defense, right? Fred Warner gone, Nick Bosa gone. Yet they keep winning.
Elite coach.
That's I feel, and I know Ben Johnson did a great job and Vrabel's done a great job. I think Shanahan should be the coach of the year. I don't know how they're 10-4 with all the injuries. What do you see when you watch them?
Well, you see a well-coached team and a guy that can get most quarterbacks in the league. He can get them to play well.
Yep.
No matter if it's a backup, if it's a starter, whoever it is, you still got a shot. And so with their offense, they're going to run that zone, and it's going to be tough to do it, and they're going to run play action off of it, and they just create throwing lanes just because the way they play, right? They're going to be under their center stretching it, and then when they have play action, it's built for it. Most of the passing offenses have stolen a lot of wood.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Shanahan does. Like most of the league, like when it comes to their play action game, it comes from his coaching tree or his play design, which is kind of Marty Schottenheimer, but it comes from that realm of thought.
Hugh, what do you think about the Niners? We haven't spoken much about them. Earlier in the season when they lost Bosa and Warner, we were like, it's not their year.
And they got your boy,
Bryce Huff.
Bryce Huff.
That's your boy. Thing. That's your guy.
Yeah. He's actually playing well.
No, he's playing extremely well. Try to tell Jordan that he can play.
You said he was going to break the sack record here.
I did.
Oh, dang.
I said that.
You said that?
It was a bold prediction.
It was a bold prediction. It was a bold prediction.
Yeah, we let him off the hook for that one. Yeah.
But when I look at San Fran, I think about the last time when we played them here, where they played us here, and you know, what happened then. You're right. They're not up at full strength, but I think they can still be formidable. You know, when you talk about some of the different plays that they can design, and a lot of people – I think we talked about it last week. A lot of teams now are running that Todd Bowles defense. And I think that they're probably and Robert Saleh's out there. So they're gonna try to run that. They're gonna try to confuse you as much as they possibly can and make Jalen hold on to the football.
Yeah.
I remember a really bad loss we had up against Saleh's defense up at the
with
Jets.
Zach Wilson was the quarterback.
Zach Wilson's quarterback. Really bad loss.
Ugly.
Really bad loss.
He's a smart dude, man.
And their defense balled in that game. And Huff was probably a big reason. Their linebacker. And they picked Jalen off, I want to say, 3 or 4 times.
And they got him at the end. The Eagles had a chance to win. Yeah.
They got him at the end.
That's like one of the lost games of the Eagles the last few years. They win so much. That was a bad loss.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that was Saleh's defense.
Yeah. If you asked me right now to guess, like just to pick who they're going to play in the first round, I think the Niners are probably the most likely opponent. It'd be a really interesting matchup. All right, let's play a cut from Jalen here. We were talking earlier about under center and the way the offense looked on Sunday. Here's Hurts talking about what they did against the Raiders.
Now that it's relatively late in the regular season, and wanted to check in with you about Scott Leffler, what he's meant to you. You've done some different things under center we talked about. How has that sort of grown over the season?
I don't know that that's necessarily because of Scott that we've been under center.
I just think overall coaching points and the value he's brought, the perspective he's brought, I mean, the knowledge of the game, a lot of wisdom in the game. He's coached the best of them. He's been around it. He's called, you know, called games before. So just his perspective has been very valuable for me. And his process and structured way of thinking has been very influential. So hopefully we can keep him around.
You spoke about him recently, Jason. You know him from back in Michigan. That's the most extensively, I think, Jalen was ever asked about Scott specifically this season. And obviously you could tell he values him as a coach.
Yeah, Scotty knows the quarterback position. He's very quarterback friendly. He's been around every type of offense and every type of quarterback. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that him and Jalen have a really, really good relationship. And he's a mild-mannered coach, not a big rah-rah coach. He's about execution and what did you see and why you made that decision. And he's going to work with Jalen as much as Jalen wants to work. That dude, Leffler, with his staff meeting was at 7. Mm. He was working out the quarterbacks at 5. When the quarterback said, "Hey, I want extra work," he would get up and do that for that quarterback. He'd do whatever it takes in order to get him better.
So as much as he applies himself, he'll apply right with him.
Yeah.
I like that. I do. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. James in Virginia is up on WIP. Hey, James.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Happy holidays.
What's up, James?
Hey, what's good? I just want to say one to Jason. I appreciate you giving honest feedback. I really am sort of discouraged by this team's performance. They haven't put together a solid, consistent back-to-back offensive performance all year long. And what it will require to repeat as champions is to run the ball in the playoffs, because the pass game, they take that away from you. And this team hasn't demonstrated the ability to do that or to mitigate that in the passing game. And the biggest fear I have is at the end of the year, Howie Roseman is going to come back and say, "We're keeping Petullo because the hard part is behind us and we don't want to keep changing coordinators. So we're potentially going to suffer through this again." And the truth is, you can make an argument that is, you know, the hard part is behind us. He's got his rookie year Petullo behind him, so now he knows Jalen a little bit better, and the, you know, next year will be different. But I don't buy that. This team needs to get younger on the offensive line. And Jalen is flawed, and we need an experienced OC that can work with him and make him more effective in reading defenses.
Well, James, your point is one. It feels like it's like it's what do you want, right? Because we talk every year, Jason, about Jalen never has continuity with the offensive coordinator. But if we have one people don't love, they want to get him out of here. So, James, I hear you.
There's no winning.
It's a lose-lose. You can't win it, right? If you bring Petullo back, people are annoyed. But if you don't bring him back, I can already hear it next September. Joe, relax. It's a new coordinator for the 11th time in a row. James, I wouldn't be surprised if Petullo's back. I mean, it's Sirianni's guy, and they might want continuity here.
And that's what makes me nervous, because then that means we're sacricing this year. Because
This year is what it is. I mean, this year is, we're in week 16
exactly.
Now. Yeah.
Exactly. But this year isn't over. We still, listen, the teams that are in the NFC, there's no reason why on any given Sunday, if we do what we're capable of, we can't beat those teams. But if, you know, where we are is we don't have an offense that's operating the way it should be effectively, especially in the run game, which is the most important part of getting playoff wins.
Here's my argument for people, and I'm going to sound like a Kevin Petullo apologist.
Go for it,
right? Kevin Petullo is not the structurer or the run game coordinator. That's Jeff Stoutland, right? So the run game is not always his responsibility. The play calling and the sequencing still even goes through Stoutland on the mic. "Hey, you good with this 94 counter?" "Yeah, I'm good with that." So they have communication with that when it comes to the play calling. Now, is it Petullo's fault that quarterback throws the ball to the other team 4 times when there's people that we can look at on film and say that guy is wide open? Is it Petullo's fault that Dallas Goedert has a layup in the end zone and he drops it? Is it Petullo? Like, those are the things that you got to say. And yes, he's a young offensive coordinator that's going to have his lumps. And when the team made the decision to have him as offensive coordinator, they already knew that it would be a growth process. And I believe that the season has been more on the players not being or not playing up to their caliber than it has been the offensive coordinator. Now, does the offensive coordinator, is he free? No, he isn't, because there are times where there's same plays and the team defense can decipher those plays, but the players have to play so much better. And that's the bottom line. The players have to play better. There's winning plays that I see on film. Can the players get to the right man or make their block? And they haven't been doing that.
Last point. The flaw in your argument, Jason, is when Brian Johnson was here, he didn't get a chance to develop. Now, all of a sudden, Kevin Petullo, we're making excuses for him, and we got to give him a chance to develop. Well, Brian Johnson was close to Jalen Hurts. They had a relationship. Why didn't he get a chance to develop?
Well, let's say this, and we don't know the inner workings, but from what I see on the tape is that Nick is willing to stand in the, just say, you know what, I'm going to just fight for Kevin Petullo, because on tape, there's guys open on pretty much each play.
Right.
Now, with Brian Johnson in that 2023, it got to a point where the offense couldn't do anything toward the end of the year, and it was for multiple games. And you don't know the friction or if there was turmoil, if those guys were agreeable or not. We don't know the inner workings of that. I don't know Kevin Petullo. What I'm saying is, on tape, Kevin Petullo, even though the offense can be stagnant,
you see the design of the plays.
I see there's opportunity.
Yeah. And you know what else is funny? Because we always talk about, and I'm just curious, James, because we always talk about Jalen not having continuity. But where is Jalen culpable in all of this? You know what I mean? Like, we're quick to blame other people. And not saying it's all Jalen's fault, but it's kind of odd to me that he gets no blame, like, in any of this. It just feels like, especially from the fan base.
There are signs that lets me know that a part of the changing of the part of the coordinator's like plight is that Jalen isn't the best at getting new information. That's what I'm seeing on the field. Right. So if you mess up simple reads, it's going to be hard for an offensive coordinator to trust you with something complex. And so, yeah, you can get a guy that can have him be successful with 50% of his offense. Mm-hmm. Or you can say, you know what? Let me get a guy in here that's going to open it up and have Jalen come up to that standard. And I think that's what Nick Sirianni, the ownership and the offense coordinator is doing. They're trying to get Jalen to that 100%.
Yeah, and James, good phone. I mean, and also not everyone is in a vacuum, right? Like, it's not all the same. So he's right. They didn't give Brian Johnson a chance to develop. He's down in Washington now, and he's helped Jaden Daniels, or at least he did last year. Maybe this time they take a different approach, where they say, we need to find continuity. We thought Petullo did some good things. Maybe he stays. Or maybe they have a new guy within 6 or 7 weeks. We shall find out. Jason, we appreciate you hopping in. Another fun week, and hopefully we're clinching the division on Saturday.
I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully we get this dub, and we're resting our players.
That's right.
Weeks.
Let's do it. All right, there he is, Jason Avant. Wideout Wednesday with Jason Avant was brought to you by Walnut Street Smiles and Chestnut Dental Studio. Part of the Dudat Dental Group, official dentist of the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, your chance to get in here, 215-592-9494 on the Eagles. And if you're frustrated like I am with the Phillies offseason so far, we'll get to all that. Plus, we do have a chance for you to enter for a prize, 215-988-1258. 215-988-1258. That's the contest line. Caller number one plays Kiss the Baby with us next. We eliminate another team for postseason contention right here on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, you can't expect to handle a long drive if you're starting every morning in bad field position. And worn-out mattresses will do that to you fast. Lucky for you, the Mattress Warehouse semi-annual warehouse clearance event is happening right now with warehouse-wide savings up to 60%. That's up to $800 off top brand names we all know and love. And you can score a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. With queen mattresses starting at $179.99, Mattress Warehouse has a mattress for everybody and every budget, whether you're upgrading your own setup We're getting ready for house guests. You know, it's the holidays and everything, so you know how that goes. Let Mattress Warehouse exclusive bed match diagnostic system take the guesswork out of choosing your mattress. You'll find the perfect fit backed by 100% comfort guarantee plus 0% interest financing, free next day delivery, and the Mattress Warehouse signature 1-year lowest price guarantee. Take it from me. Why shop anywhere else? Visit MattressWarehouse.com for a location near you. MattressWarehouse.com. MattressWarehouse.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.